Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around.
Welcome back. Hour number three, Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, yesterday from Chicago.
Why did you get Kimo Thiemann? You got Kimo Thiemann because he's played in the Stanley Cup final. He's a proven player internationally, five Olympics with Finland. He played very well in the Olympics last year. Obviously, he's had some issues with his health this year with the blood clotting. But if you went out there to get him to be a player for you, now you got to play him.
Today in Chicago.
Well, he gives us some predictability. I think his coverage in the D zone, his strength in the puck area. I think he's smart, experienced, and I think he did a good job for Horace throughout the playoffs, and gives him a chance to get in here in a good moment, in a big moment. And I think that his reads and his positionally awareness is, and coverage in his own end will help.
Pierre McGuire on TSN 690 is brought to you by Dagwoods. Dagwoods thanks Cult Montreal readers for voting Dagwoods sandwiches the best tasting sandwiches in Montreal.
One can assume that Joel Quenneville had a conversation with Pierre at some point yesterday. How you doing, Pierre?
I'm doing very well. Mitch, good to visit with you.
All right. So now that they at the very least have taken your advice, is he a factor tonight?
I think so. I think you'll probably see him play anywhere from 12 to 18 minutes, more than the last time he played. He hasn't played in five games, so that's a significant amount of time at this time of the year. But one of the things that Kimo brings is he's not going to be intimidated. He wouldn't have pit backed off like you saw Kyle Komisky do on the game-winning goal the other night. And again, watch the tape and you'll see that's just a confidence play. It's not that Kyle Komisky did anything wrong. It's a confidence play, and that's why he backed off. Kimo won't do that. Just because he's been through a lot of big moments. Now, all that being said, this is a little bit different kind of a theater to be put in terms of pace. This is not the same pace that Anaheim played at. This is a far higher pace. Now, if I were Mike Kitchen and I was running the defense, I'd find a lot of ways to hide him in terms of matchups. And you can do that when you have last change. But you'll know early on, depending again on what you're hearing through the airways, you'll know early on whether they're hiding him or whether they have no confidence in him at all.
All right, so what can he do at the age of 40, being dropped into this in the middle of the Stanley Cup final? Obviously, he doesn't move as well as he once did. So what does he do to make up for that?
I'll tell you what he's done. It's not what he will do. It's what he's done. At this time of the year, and this is where veteran hockey people are so critically important, and that's why there's no price tag you can put on Scotty Bowman at this time of the year. It's so critically important that the organizational message to the players that aren't playing, that they don't feel alienated in the process. So you better make sure that on the off days, these guys are staying in shape and even improving their cardiovascular systems. And on the days when they're formal practices, they're out there and they're bringing it. And you pay attention to those players. You know, for the two cup runs that we had in Pittsburgh, we never alienated players like Jimmy Pack or Grant Jennings or Sean McEachran. And eventually those guys got a chance to play. And when they played, they were ready to play. And again, I think that Scotty's formal training coming from Montreal and learning from the very best people in hockey. So I can tell you, because I watched the off-day practices, I watched the behind-the-scenes cardiovascular work that these guys are doing. The one thing that has happened here for Kimo, it's not so much what he'll do tonight, what he's done since he hasn't played, he's worked his tail off, and he's ready. Just like Versteeg. Versteeg's going in tonight instead of Bickle. I can tell you right now, I talk to Versteeg every day, he has worked his behind off to be ready for this opportunity.
Even Valtteri Filppula on the other side, he's a great guy. It's fun to see him on the ice. That's where he belongs.
Oh, well, Val would know him from Finland, obviously. Kimo played in a different part. He played up in Kuopio, up in the north, actually the central part of Finland, the lake country, where Val played for Jokerit, which is in Helsinki. But, yeah, he would know him. I mean, listen, Kimo Thiemann, with Finnish players, five Olympics. You're in Saku Koivu territory there. That's big time. And he has never been a problem. Everywhere he's gone, I'll never forget the first time he was severely injured. He was in Nashville before he went to Philadelphia. And I remember emailing Ray Sherrill and asking him for Kimo's cell number just because I had met him a bunch over in Finland before he came over, and I just wanted to make sure he was okay. And, I never expected him to respond to my text. I just was wishing him well. The guy, we've been in touch ever since. He responded right away. He's like, I can't thank you enough for thinking of me. I'm like, thank you. Hey, don't thank me. I just care about you as a person. It has nothing to do with hockey. He's just that kind of a guy. He's very, very, he has an addictive personality when you're around him. Very, very good person.
Well, I hope he can more than hold his own tonight. And for those who aren't aware, guy's been in the league forever. He's closing it out. He's 40 years old. He's had health issues. He's never won a cup. So this is his shot. With Pierre McGuire on site in Chicago, along with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, Mitch Melnick until 7. Jay Feaster in about 30 minutes from Tampa. Rod?
Pierre, it's a small sample size, but over the three games, the winning team has trailed in each game. They've been able to come back. You get the feeling that as long as you keep it to a one-goal deficit, that one goal really doesn't matter all that much unless there's no time left on the clock.
Well said. Now, it's interesting that you're going to have Jay Feaster on, the only time Tampa ever won the Stanley Cup and the only other time they played in the finals when Jay was a GM. And, you know, in the series they played with Calgary, seven-game series, if you got the lead, you never surrendered the lead. That was a Stanley Cup final of 2004. That was tackle football on ice. And that's one of the reasons why we had to have all the rule changes, because that was about as unwatchable a Stanley Cup final as you'd ever see. But that's why there were no swings in terms of what was going on with the lead changes. So I think that's something that's really important, and that's why this game has never been better. It's never been played at a higher level, and that's why we have the lead swings, because people can come from behind. People can generate chances. There is more flow to the game. It's been a delightful playoff for everybody involved.
Pierre, Johnny Oduya has been off the ice the last couple days. He's going to play tonight, obviously. And you've spoken to us many times about, during the playoffs, players getting targeted. Do you see Tampa Bay going out of their way to start finishing their hits and making his life miserable?
Well, they do that anyways, but they don't have that kind of a team. I mean, they have a lot of really skilled guys. They don't have a lot of crushers. This Brian Boyle, I guess, would be the biggest version of that. And again, I don't know if he can skate well enough to catch Johnny. In a confined area, he can for sure. If it's a confined cycle area and they've got their mittens on them, they can put him in hard. We'll see. This comes down with Johnny Oduya, and it's a great question that you're asking, Mitch Gallo, but it comes down with Johnny Oduya is pain management. And it just, that's the hardest thing. It's a little bit like Ryan McDonagh in Game 7 to the Rangers. It comes down to, you know, whatever they do to prepare him for the game, does that work? And if it doesn't work, how long will it take for it to work? And I can only speak to it just because I went through it when I was a college player. I received injections. I was playing with a broken bone in my arm. And sometimes it works and it takes, and other times it doesn't. It's just, you got to hit the right spot. If you don't hit the right spot, it's a bit of a problem.
Top players sometimes get a lot more attention, and you know, some guys that don't get the same either notoriety or fanfare jump up, and they can be, you know, through three games they've had their chances, they've had some decent looks, and you know, we're gonna need our top guys to be productive in ways, and I think like we always say, we don't care who scores for our team, but you know, they usually lead the charge.
Joel Quenneville earlier today, so unlike Tampa Bay, for example, the emergence of the Paquette line, right? Who, other than the obvious, we all know who's not producing, and I think they will beginning tonight. But from the bottom six, who do you look to if you're Chicago?
Kruger, Shaw, and Desjardins. That line's been great for them. I think at some point they'll capitalize too, because there's so much attention going on the big guys, talking about Taves and Richards, and obviously Kane and Hossa and Saad, and maybe Versteeg now. But I would say that for Chicago, anyways, on the deeper side of things, that Kruger line with Andrew Shaw and Andrew Desjardins, that's a critically important line for them. They did a lot of damage against Anaheim. And if they can do that tonight, then, you know, we're in for a very, very long series.
We're a confident group. You know, we know what we need to go out and do, and we've been here before, so we got to go out there and compete. And seven-game series, you know, games can go different ways, so we got to go out there and, you know, just work as hard as we can.
All right, there's Andrew Shaw, and experience does matter, and I think we're going to find that out tonight. I think you're on the same page.
But you know what? I've been doing radio all across both countries today and have been for a while. People are underselling Tampa. I don't think that's fair to Tampa. And people are pile-driving Chicago, and I don't think that's fair to Chicago. The more I'm listening to some of the comments and reading some of the columns, I'm not sure how much people are actually watching of some of these other teams if you're not living in those cities. Tampa Bay Lightning aren't a newfangled team. They've been good all year. You and I have had this running debate all year.
Yep.
Who's better, Chicago or Tampa? And I kept telling you, be careful with Tampa. I watched them all season. It's the same with Chicago. You were wrong on that. Chicago was a great team all year. You know, they had their ups and downs, but they were comfortable where they were. And I'm hearing stuff, oh, you know, it's too much. Taze doesn't have anything left. And I'm like, are people watching what's going on?
Pierre, I don't know.
They formulate these opinions. I don't think they are.
I don't know. These guys could help because they're a lot younger than we are. Is it the instant gratification generation where everything, what have you done for me? Not lately. What have you done for me in the last three periods? That seems to be like every game turns into a season. And it's as if whatever happened in the previous 60 minutes or more with overtime, that's it. That's the narrative. I don't know if here's another term that I'm tired of hearing, but I don't know what's happened to the big picture here in sports.
Well, it's not just hockey, though, right? It's Steph Curry, the MVP. He has a couple bad games. He's not pulling his weight. It's football at the beginning of last season. Tom Brady's done. He can't play anymore. He goes on to win the Super Bowl. It seems like it's every sport where you pile on a guy if you see him bad in just one or two games.
It could be a generational thing, but at the same time, if it is, you look at the other side of the coin, it could also, it's part of the reason why it helps younger players get over a bad result. Okay? Instead of just looking at one little glimpse here, maybe two games ago you had a bad game, this will allow you to get past it because you're not thinking about what happened anymore. You're thinking about the immediate future, the instant gratification part.
That's a good point. I never looked at it that way. I always was trained that in the playoffs you have to have a short memory. You need to learn, but you have to forget it because it's kind of like an airplane that takes off. Once it takes off, that seed is a perishable commodity. You can't worry about it. You got to worry about it before it takes off, and it's the same thing in a playoff series. Once that last game is over, it's done. You got to worry about the next one because if that one happens and you repeat the same mistakes, you're doomed. So that's pretty much it. It's a good way to look at it, Rod.
We still have some things up our sleeves. I mean, maybe some momentum or whatever you want to call it. But like I said all along, this team really does believe in each other, and we'll see what happens tonight.
We know how good they are. You know, by now, most people know how good Steven Stamkos and the Tampa Bay Lightning are as a team. But they have had barriers put in front of them in each series, right? And they really, I don't know. I think they're about to have another one, and they will be true champions if they can. You know, if they could take a 3-1 stranglehold, then they're better than I think they are, and I think they're pretty good. But I don't think they've faced the best from Chicago yet, and I think that's another barrier that's going to be thrown in front of them tonight.
Well, you're showing your wisdom and your knowledge, because I would agree with you on that, just having been around the team for as many years as I have here in Chicago, ever since Kane and Taze have really taken over the mantle of leadership here, you're right. And so, again, have they played their best? No. But that doesn't mean Tampa's played poorly either. You know, Tampa's played well, and Chicago's been just okay. All the games have been one-goal games. The one thing that I think is really important about tonight for Chicago is for them to, you know how we talked about concern, doubt, and fear? They've got to prove to Tampa that Tampa needs to doubt themselves, because so far Tampa's not doubting anything. Tampa feels really good about themselves, and there's been no concern, there's been no doubt, and not even close to fear. And if I'm Chicago tonight, I want to do something that's going to create a little bit of doubt and a whole lot of concern on the Tampa side of things, going back to game five.
We always play the next game as a must-win situation. We felt going into game two in the spot we're in, we wanted to win it. Obviously, coming here back and being excited for game three. Put ourselves in a real tough spot coming into today. Not where we want to be, so let's go take care of what we have to take care of.
The only time I can really think of Tampa as being vulnerable, Pierre, was when they were sitting back, when late in game one, when they weren't pushing the pace. And other than that, I mean, there's been nothing but success from them, and they've generally had it pretty easy.
I would respectfully disagree with that in game three. That first period was not even close.
Mm, true.
They got run right out of the building. And then if you look at it, remember the 5-3 penalty kill by Chicago. Tampa could have melted down there. I'm telling you, they could have melted down, and they didn't. But those were two major moments where I think in this series it was more domination by Chicago than we've yet to see in this playoff. And after Saad scored to go ahead, I'm telling you right now, from my experience, I thought it was over. And I thought Tampa was going to be in trouble. But then, obviously, they get the great goal by Palat. And then, eventually, Paquette scores to win it. But that response was amazing. But I thought Tampa was in trouble in Game 3, Rod. I really did, based on what they did in the first period.
Yeah, I think Rod's probably alluding to that number in terms of holding the lead in the series.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, that part I understand. But, again, that's where analytics kind of get in the way. It creates the fog of what's going on in a game. Because regardless as to what the numbers were, that thing wasn't close for a long time. It really was not close.
All right, from anybody on Tampa's side, I mean, it's, you know, there are no secrets left about this team that knocked out the Canadiens, but is there anything we should keep a close eye on based on anything you've seen or spoken to, anybody you've spoken to in the last couple of days?
I think the one thing is I'm going to be interested to see how their second pairing of Coburn and Garrison respond tonight. They've had a very good playoff, a tremendously strong playoff, both of them. But I think Chicago may have figured a couple things out about them, and we'll see how that plays out. And I'm not going to, you know, say too much because it's not appropriate. You defy confidence with other people that trust you. But that's the one thing I would say is I'm going to be watching to see how that second tandem for Tampa reacts tonight, because you know what you're getting from Victor Hedman, and you know what you're getting from Anton Strahlman. And you know, deep in the lineup, that Matt Carlin, Andre Schuster aren't going to play as many minutes. But I'm going to be watching to see what the second tandem does for Tampa tonight.
Yeah, again, as somebody who's watched them a lot, Braden Coburn, you know, has struggled. He's up and down.
Yeah,
I think it's fair to say they expected a little bit more from Braden Coburn at this point. As they're two wins away from winning the Stanley Cup, but I think they expect a little more consistency out of him.
Well, they paid a big price to get him. You paid Radko Gudas in a first round pick. That's a lot of stuff. Radko Gudas is going to be a very good player in the league for a while, and you never know what the first-round pick is going to be. But, yeah, they're counting on Braden. Braden's counting on himself, too. You know what's interesting about him? He was Kimo Timonen's partner forever in Philadelphia. They played in the 2010 Stanley Cup Final against the Chicago Blackhawks team when they were in Philly. But I was telling this to Jeremy Roenick the other day. I had Jeremy when he was a kid in hockey school. That Braden Coburn accomplished something that not very many players do. He's a first overall pick in the Bantam draft coming out of Notre Dame in Saskatchewan with the Portland Winterhawks. There are not a lot of guys that get that number. I mean, that's a heck of an accomplishment when you think about all the players that come out of the West, and in particular end up playing for high-caliber teams. So Braden's always been a good player. He was part of two World Junior teams, and he was an important part of two World Junior teams. You know, he was part of 04 and 05. And again, he's been a good player for a long time. He really has.
Finishing up with Pierre McGuire on site in Chicago, Jay Feaster in Tampa in 10 minutes, Bruce Arthur. Who? Bruce Arthur. How about that? Bruce Arthur at 6:05. Mitch?
Just that defensive tandem that you're talking about, Pierre, do you think Chicago would prefer to have Saad, Taves, and Hossa out there when those two are on the ice, or Versteeg, Richards, and Kane?
Well, that's what you're going to watch for tonight. We brought it up during our broadcast the whole time. The last change is going to matter, and it did for good portions of game number 3. But yes, I would say that you probably see, rather than worried about the forwards, I think they'll be more concerned about the D. But we'll see how it plays out.
Pass along our congratulations, please, to one of your partners, Doc Emmerich, who was awarded the Vin Scully Award. How about that?
A great story for you in that right across from where our hotel is in Tampa, there's an outdoor place called The Sail. It's right on Channel Side. And Doc and I were sitting there having a beer. Together. He has 1.5 and he's done. They take him back to the hotel. Anyways,
it's like BJ Stock.
And it's a great story, though. He gets the text message from Fordham University where the Vin Scully Award is presented, telling him that he's won this thing, but he's not allowed to tell anybody. And he's sitting there right next to me, and he's like, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but I got to tell you. And he goes, the best part about it, right after, he got a phone call from Vin Scully. And it was just a voicemail. And he says, I'm keeping that one.
Wow. Yeah, that's an all-timer.
I'm keeping that one. That's pretty cool.
Now, the other member of the crew, of course.
The only reason the Blackhawks were not, let me repeat that, the only reason the Blackhawks were not a wild card team was because of Corey Crawford. Like, he was sensational. Yeah, he had a tough time in round one. Didn't get off to the greatest starts against Nashville. He was the backup in round one. He came in and mopped up and got the win in Game 6, and the Blackhawks haven't looked back since.
Eddie Olczyk with Knuckles Nylund on Off the Cuff yesterday. This Corey Crawford has to bounce back tonight, right? You expect him to?
Absolutely. I mean, he knows. He's a proud kid. Corey Crawford's going to bounce back, but he knows he can't give up two bad goals a game. He can't give up one bad goal a game. He's given up four in the last two games. He knows it. He doesn't need to be told. He'll get in there and he'll play. He will battle. That's the one thing I love about him. He is the ultimate competitor. He really is.
Pierre McGuire on site prior to Game 4 Stanley Cup Final in Chicago. Thanks as always, Pierre. Enjoy. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow from Tampa. Thanks a lot, Mitch. I really appreciate it. Have a good night.
We're going to Tampa in about 6-7 minutes. Jay Feaster, general manager when the Lightning won the Cup back in the days of tackling on ice.